Tonight, we're going to be continuing our look at the attributes of God. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the attribute dealing with evolution of God. Does God change? Is God different than he used to be? Has he grown? Has he adapted? There are some that would say, yes, God does change. There's actually a doctrine known as progressive theology, and it's not the same as progressivism, but progressive theology that actually teaches that God does change and learn more information over time, and he adapts to that new information. It's a false doctrine because the answer to the question of evolution of God is a resounding no. No. The attribute specifically we're talking about deals with this question. It's known as immutability or unchangeableness. And you may see either term, immutability or unchangeableness. Now, this is going to be a three-parter on this one. The reason is because tonight I'm going to introduce the attribute. We're going to cover basically what the attribute teaches. But there are some questions that people have regarding the attribute of immutability. And each of those questions is going to require so much time that I'm going to do each one individually. Now, you may have some questions tonight about God and the aspect of him changing or not changing that will be probably addressed next week or the week after. So if you have some questions about it, I may end up giving you an answer of come next week. So, or if you're listening to this online, wait till the following week and you may get those answers. Hopefully you do. Immutability deals with the aspect of does God change? And what I've written down there is that God does not change over time, nor does God change in relation to circumstances. In other words, God does not evolve. When we talk about evolution, there's actually two types of evolution. One of them is I have no problem with. One of them I do. There's micro and macro evolution. Put it simply this. One type of evolution says that biological creatures change from one species into another species. To use the, what scientists would say is an inaccurate representation, but it suffices for illustrative purposes, monkey into man or dog into sheep. That's not true. The other one is known as adaptability. That is, a species will adapt to in its environment. And actually, Charles Darwin did show this with finches. Finches, their beaks grew longer or shorter, and they've actually shown it with moths. There was a situation where one type of moth, the dark moth, there were very few of them. A lot of the light moths, well, as the environment changed and things around the moth got darker, the dark moths became more prominent because they were now more camouflaged. And as a result, well, there were more dark moths born than there were light moths. Adaptability. Humans are taller now than they used to be. We live longer than we used to, except in Bible times. So we're talking like, you know, 15, 14, 1000 AD. We live longer than we used to. Adaptability. I have no problem with adaptability. Now, when it comes to God, God doesn't evolve at all. God doesn't change. God is the same God he was at the very beginning, as he is now, and as he always will be. No change. And that's what we see in Scripture. Now, what does this apply to? This applies to God's person. It applies to God's nature, which you can sometimes say is one and the same. It applies to God's purposes. The purpose God had in the Garden of Eden is the same purpose he has now. It also applies to all three persons of the Trinity. God the Father doesn't change, God the Son doesn't change, and God the Spirit does not change. None one of them changes. However, under the idea of immutability, it does allow for God to respond to situations, but his response is always in accordance with his unchanging person, his unchanging nature, and his unchanging purposes, and his unchanging knowledge. So while it may seem like God is adapting to situations, he's not adapting to situations. He's responding in accordance to a way that he's already said he would respond. And we'll see actually more about that next week when we deal with the question of does God change his mind? But that's more for next week. But all three persons of the Trinity are applied here. All three come into this. None of the three change. Now, some definitions of immutability. First, I want to say this. If you read the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, you will not find immutability or unchangeableness or God changing addressed directly. It's not in there. I don't know why they left it out. It's kind of a big one to me. But they left it out. However, if you read the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, you can infer from things that it says that God doesn't change, but it does not state God doesn't change. The reason I say that is because in these definitions, not a one of them is from the Southern Baptist Convention, because the BFNM doesn't define it because it doesn't address it. So we're going to look at some other sources of definitions of immutability. The first one is from John MacArthur, and you should know who he is. Great source here. He writes this: God does not increase or decrease. He does not improve or decline. He does not change due to some altered circumstances. There are no unforeseen emergencies to the one who is eternally all-knowing. His eternal purposes stand forever because he stands forever. He does not react, he only acts, and he does so however he pleases. But back in 1955, John Mueller wrote this: God is liable to no change whatever, neither as to his existence, nor as to accidents, that is, random events that happen, nor as to will or purpose. In other words, God doesn't change. Now, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which the Presbyterian Church does use, and a lot of Baptists do adhere to it, actually has a lot of good things in it, defines it this way: God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Now, personally, I like that definition. I think it's a good definition. Now, Wayne Grudem defines it this way, and it's a good definition, not the best. I prefer Westminster's, but Wayne Grudem defines it this way: God is unchanging in his being, perfections, purposes, and promises. Yet God does act and feel emotions, and he acts and feels differently in response to different situations. The reason I'm not a huge fan of this as a definition is because if you parse this out, what happens is Grudem is opening the door inadvertently to the idea of God adapting to situations as they change in time. Although he rejects that idea, this definition opens that door. And personally, I don't want to open that door. I just want to stick with God doesn't change, hence why I like the Westminster's definition of it and their statement on it. I also like MacArthur's, although his is a lot longer. But these aren't all of them that you could look up. You could look up others, but these, I think, do offer a good summary of what it means for God not to change. In his person, he doesn't change. In his nature, he doesn't change. In his purposes, he doesn't change. In his knowledge, he doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun. We are not going to give God some new information that he didn't have beforehand. He already knows it all, and he owns it all. So God's not going to change. Now, scriptural basis for this. Does someone want to go ahead and turn to Psalm 102? Verses 25 through 27, Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. But what's interesting in this passage, in these three verses, is we have the idea that the things in this world change. Situations change. Mankind changes. We learn more. We come. We go. We're going to live. We're going to die. God doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says this: For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. I, the Lord, do not change. Seems pretty straightforward to me. Seems straightforward. So God doesn't change. So here we have the idea, really, in these two verses, we could simply say God doesn't change, but what they're saying is God in his person, God himself, does not change. Now, there's some good things in that, the fact that God himself does not change. First, that means that the God that we pray to today is going to be the same God we pray to tomorrow. It also means that the same God that Abraham worshiped is the same God we worship. It also means that the same God that Jesus came and showed us is the same God that we see today. It also means that the same God who made sure that the Word of God that we have is also the same God we read about. So we have stability. We have reliability. We have a God who's trustworthy. And do we have to really talk about how often mankind is unreliable and unpredictable? No. God, though, doesn't change. God doesn't change, and we see that here. James 1:17 says this, and if you remember from the sermon, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So, not only do we have statements that God doesn't change, here we have James saying that there's not even a hint of God changing one bit. Absolutely no change. That's stability. Wouldn't it be nice if our things that we build didn't break down or become unreliable and were always dependable? It would be nice. Well, they're not, but God is. Does someone want to turn to Hebrews 13, verse 8? Hebrews 13, verse 8. So we've been talking about God not changing, but now we have Jesus, God the Son, not changing. So God the Son doesn't change. That means that the Jesus that the disciples walked with is the same Jesus that we walk with today. The Jesus that was born to Mary is the same Jesus we worship today. The same Jesus that many believe appeared in a pre-incarnate state to people such as, I just went blank, Abraham. Yeah, I was going to say in Sodom and Gomorrah, but no, Abraham. But the various instances where Jesus or the angel of the Lord showed up in the Old Testament, a pre-incarnate Christ, that Jesus, that God the Son, is the same God the Son we serve and worship in 2022. Yet many people in this world are trying to make their own Jesuses in their own images. But no, we worship the biblical Jesus who doesn't change, and therefore what it says in the scripture about Jesus, we can trust because it's the same one today. Now also, we've read this verse before. Does someone want to turn to Exodus 3, verse 14? Exodus 3, 14. God said, I am what I am. We talked about this before when we talked about the names of God. I am what I am. It's very interesting that he pointed out this as an identifier, as a name. Not I was, not will be, I am. By giving us this name, God is telling us directly, I don't change. God is I am back with Moses many, 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 many thousands of years ago. He's the same I am in 2022. Now, it may seem like I'm kind of repeating myself, I admit. But what I want you to see here is we have five passages that tell us four things. One, God himself does not change in his person. Two, there's not even a hint of change. So if anybody indicates that, well, maybe God changes a little bit. No, not even a hint of it. None whatsoever. It applies to Christ as well. Christ doesn't change. Although I didn't have a verse regarding the Spirit, there's no real verse that says the Spirit doesn't change. We know from the scripture that the Spirit is also God the Spirit, and what applies to God the Father and God the Son applies to God the Spirit. So God the Spirit wouldn't change. But also we have God himself telling us that he himself does not change. The person of God is unchanging. But it's not just the person of God, it's also the purposes of God. Someone want to read Psalm 33, verse 11? Counsel of the Lord stands forever. When does forever end? Never ends. So the counsel of the Lord, that is his purposes, are eternal. They don't change. Isaiah says this in chapter 46, verses 9 through 11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose, quoting Psalm 33 there. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. God's purposes don't change. That which God intends to do, he will do. That which he promises to do, he will do. He keeps his word, unlike mankind. We break our promises and our word all the time, whether we do it intentionally or unintentionally, we break it. But God, however, does not. Numbers 23, verse 19, deals with God changing his mind, which we'll get into more next week. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Which in English reads a little weird. You can also word it this way. If God said something, won't he do it? If God spoke something, won't he fulfill it? You could word it that way, and it says the same thing. The idea here is this. God doesn't change his purposes. He keeps his word. And 1 Samuel 15, verse 29. Someone want to read that? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29. Now, the glory of Israel here is referring to God. The glory of Israel, God, will not lie. Why? God can't lie. Nor have regret. Why? He's not a man. He's not a man. Now, there are some religions that do teach that God is a man. The Mormons teach that God was a man like us, flesh and blood. Somehow, in some way, he achieved godhood. Don't ask me how. I guess by being a good Mormon, I don't know. But he achieved godhood and was assigned his own planet, in this case, planet Earth. And he and his many wives have been populating Earth like we have children. But God's a flesh and blood, and we too can become gods like him, except God's not a man. I would love for the Mormons to please explain to me 1 Samuel 15, 29, that God is not a man. Now, they might say, well, not anymore. He is not a man. He never was a man. If God was ever a man at one point, this verse would be false. But he's, you know, there are other religions that teach variations on God being some sort of physical being or man, but he's not. He's not. What we see here is the answer to the question of the evolution of God. No, God does not change one bit. Now, there are some who would say he has to change because biologically, scientifically, any and all beings must change and adapt. My answer is, any and all created beings must change and adapt. They forgot that little caveat. God's not a created being. The creator doesn't have to change or adapt. Now think about this. If God was fickle like us and changed his mind or changed his position or he himself changed, wouldn't it be kind of tough to worship him? I mean, think about it. You have to wonder, what God am I worshiping this week? I mean, imagine if God flew off the handle like sometimes we do because he's unstable and unreliable and, don't know what you're getting. Well, God's not like a box of chocolates. You do know what you get if you read the book. But so many people don't read the book. They don't read the Bible. They don't spend time in the Word of God. But there are people who will tell you they know all kinds of things about God, but have never done their homework ahead of time. They've never gone to the Word of God to see what does it say about God. But then they'll tell you all kinds of things about God. There's one very progressive, he calls himself a minister. Nowadays you can call yourself a minister if you want. So he's reverend, whatever he is. He supposedly teaches people the truth of the Word of God. I don't think he's read a single word of it. Here's why. He said, Jesus doesn't care what you believe. Yeah, he does. God doesn't care if you're right or wrong. Yeah, he does. He absolutely does. God doesn't care if you tell others about him. Yeah, he does. But he's telling his literally thousands of followers on TikTok this nonsense. He hasn't done his homework. He hasn't looked at the Word of God. He has a false view of God. We need to do our homework and we need to have a right view of God. But when we do our homework in Scripture, we can know that the God we're reading about in Scripture, written by men thousands of years ago, is the same God we have today.